This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you for being with us on The Vedic Wisdom. I want to talk to you about controlling your own life. And I think that we have to start with the concept of taking control of your own life. Because generally speaking, we're under so many influences, we're hardly in control of our own life. We want to be. And we want to think we are. But actually, you look at how much you're forced to work to pay the mortgage. So the bankers are controlling you. And doing your work, you have to do what's required for the position you hold. So the employers are controlling you. And if to get that job, you have to have a certain level of education and information. So the academic system is controlling you. And then you look and you can't get to work too fast because sometimes the traffic is so bad and you can't run a red light because the police are controlling you. The regulations, governmental laws are controlling you. And then you get paid and the government takes a bunch of tax off of it so you have less than you need or want. So the government is controlling you. The tax department is controlling you. And then you get this money and you go, okay, I know what I'm going to do with it. And then your spouse says, but I need this. Or I need this for the children. And so they're controlling you. And you go on and you look, oh, now I have to pay the power bill because I can't have the power turned off because I need it. So the power's controlling me. And you go, and I have to pay the phone. And, oh my goodness, I have to put fuel in my car. And the price is ridiculous for the fuel. The price has gone down in the last year some 75% for the crude oil. And it's gone down 20 cents, 50 cents at most for the end product. So somebody's reaping this huge profit. And you need that money for your life. Now they say, oh, well, you're supposed to have enough money to have a holiday every year. You're supposed to plan for the future and put a little bit aside. Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to plan your retirement. You're supposed to have some money for emergencies. You want to give your kids a good, great, positive, high-level education. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. The whole situation, the whole structure of the society is such you are controlled. But because at the end of the day, when all the money's spent and all the bills are paid and you're sitting back, you still have a few bucks in your hand that you can go do what you want to do with it. Maybe you got to save up for 5 weeks. Maybe you got to save up for 6 months. But you get a little clump of money, a fistful of dollars, and you do what you want to do with it, and therefore you think, I'm in control of my life. Now, the saints and sages that bring the Vedic knowledge to you, they all hang their head in dismay, in shame, in sadness over your predicament. That is not human life. That is not you having control over your life. That is you being in a type of financially based, circumstantial based prison. Prison life. We're talking prison life. Because if you look in the prisons, they have their television, they have their own bed, they have their own areas, they have their own things, they have their own free time, they have a few bucks, they can buy a couple of things they may want, a little bit here, a little bit there. It's the same. It may be a constricted, smaller scale, but it's the same. Similarly, there are people that are doing better than you, and they have a big house and a fancy car, and they go on these holidays, and they have a big family, but they have the same limits. They don't have much independence. They have more, but only a bit. So it's really the same. It's a prison-type situation. We're made dependent upon circumstances and requirements of life, essentials, that place us in a spiritual vacuum and a prison-based lifestyle. Now, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, says this is a tragedy. This is not necessary. This is not what God intended. This is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not normal. This is not normal life. He says this life is called unnatural. Natural life is where you give up some of these specialities, some of these things you think are needed, and you live a simple life in harmony with nature. You don't need to live in the cities of concrete jungles to sit and watch screens. You need to live on the land. You need to live closer to nature. You need to have fresh food, fresh water. You need to have loved ones near you who can be happy, can play, can interact, can learn from each other, can share love and affection. You need to be God conscious, where you understand I'm going from this prison life, I'm moving out of it to spiritual life, totally spiritual life. But we have so much false propaganda that, oh, sir, I'm sorry, you're not qualified for spiritual life. You're just qualified to work on your machine over there. Now get back to work. This whole society is gearing you to consider it's useless to fight back. There's no sense in trying to get out of this. It's what everybody has to put up with. It is not what everybody has to put up with. We've been given false values to achieve, false goals of life. And so we're all struggling for those same goals, and it makes the competition that much stronger, and it makes it seem nearly hopeless. And that's not what it is. That's the illusion brought upon us by the misconceptions of a society that's miseducated for several generations to all want the same thing, and there's not enough resources for that to come true. Reality is an egregarian-based lifestyle. That is reality. Because actually, everything we require for survival comes from the land. Even all the factories that produce all these fancy little things we carry around or have now, they come from natural resources that go into the factory and produce these little goodies that come out and you think, ah, now I'm happy. Now I'm free. But the reality is we are surviving by the essentials that are coming from the resources of the planet. That's in God's design. That's in the design of the Lord to see to it that the planet can sustain the number of living entities on it. But we're killing the planet because we're all getting greedy. Everybody's greedy for more than you need. How can I say that? Because everybody's got a garage full of stuff they don't use or need. There's a long-standing joke. Oh, I'm going to go shopping for shit from China I don't need. Who isn't guilty? So society is being misdirected, and what's happening is the planet's suffering for it, and everybody's not happy. Happiness comes from love. Happiness comes from reducing, minimizing the struggle for existence. Happiness comes from the humility to be satisfied with your needs. Not to endlessly go on with desires that are foolish, childish. You see grown men wanting toys. Didn't get out of the childhood attitude. Didn't get out of it. Didn't get mature. They still want toys. And they sell their toys and they get sick of it and somebody else buys it and somebody else buys their toy and somebody else buys the next toy and then this guy runs around and buys his toy. And they shift toys every 3 years. Sell it, resell it. Buy it, sell it, resell it. But they're not growing up and going, I don't need these toys. I need to have a close personal relationship with those people who love me. Those people that I love. I need to develop my consciousness to the highest possible level to where I understand my predicament in proper perspective. And I understand those goals of life. I understand where do I go at the time of death. And I can see why I've been having these desires and now they don't matter. They don't matter because they can't bring the happiness I'm looking for. Just like television. Everybody thought television. Oh, watch television, watch television. It's ridiculous. They got television that fit in the back of the headrest of your car. They got television you can hold in your hand. They got television in the banks. They got television in the stores. They got television in the hardware store. They got televisions absolutely everywhere. And people are now just turning them out. They tune it out. Don't care. Why? Because they know it doesn't really contain happiness. It doesn't really give you any information. It isn't solving your problem. It isn't fixing the pain in your heart that you're not loved or loving properly. It doesn't give you a clearer understanding of your predicament in the material world and how to solve that predicament. It's distraction. We're living in a world of distraction, and lifespan is being taken away by time. And we're trying to profess to and trying to convince ourselves we're happy, when actually, as we've just covered, we're completely controlled. Very little bit of independence. And we go, that's good enough. Okay, I am free. I can do what I want. No, you're not. You bought the illusion and it's turned into your delusion. You're deluding yourself to think something is true when it's not. And everybody else looks at you and go, can't you see you're just suffering, man? Can't you see you're just going to work and coming home and going to work and coming home and your life's just wasting away and you're getting tired, you're getting sick, you're getting grumpy, you're not happy? Can't you see that? And the people from the outside, they can all see that. And yet, you look at them and you go, well, you're no different than me, man. And you realize, they have the same result that I have. The illusion that they're under makes them delusional. They look at me and see it, but they can't look at themselves and see it. Oh my God, that's what I'm doing. I can look at them and see it, but I can't look at myself and see it. This is a society gone mad. That is what we're living in. Everybody's trying to convince you that it's okay. They look at you critically. They look at you fault-finding. But they try to say, I don't have that problem. It's okay. Everybody, it's okay. I'm all right. Yeah, sure. How are you today, Mr. So-and-so? I'm fine. Yeah, fine. But you're limping. Oh, it's okay. I broke my foot. But you're not happy. Oh, I have stomach trouble. Oh, I have just got back from the doctor. Oh, I have to go to the hospital. Oh, I have cancer. Oh, all these things. How are you today? I'm fine. No, you're not. This is delusion. And if you talk to the people, if you open your mind and you look at the people, well, everybody's got some problems that are holding them down from being the best they can be. From being happy, from being positive contributors, from knowing where they go at the time of death, and knowing how come they are forced to get old and suffer the pains of old age. It's a controlled situation we're in. You have to take control of your own life. How do you do that? The Vedic literature says you are controlled, you are being controlled, you are a servant. So the whole issue is, who are you going to serve? You're not going to not be a servant. Who are you going to serve? And the Vedic literature says, serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. If one surrenders to Krishna and says, I would like to serve you, that is the true constitutional position. And in that position, real happiness lies. Because by serving the Supreme, he can see to it that every one of your problems is taken care of. You can't get that serving anybody else. We all know that. They may give you money and it may solve some problems, but it creates its own problems too. You ask any really rich man, and he'll tell you that his problem is protecting his money. And you tell people that don't have any money, and they'll say, my problem is I don't have any money. So without it, you're in anxiety, and with it, you're in anxiety, so it doesn't fix all the problems. What fixes the problems? Being engaged as a servant, which you constitutionally are, for the Supreme Master, who can actually award you the freedom and happiness and love and consciousness you're looking for. But we have to get it down. What does taking control of our life mean? It means using your free will to satisfy the Supreme. Selfless devotion. This is the bhakti yoga process. Love and devotion. You become devoted to the service that's given to you. You execute it to the best of your ability to satisfy the Lord under the Lord's plan. You put it together in such a way that you realize, this is what I'm good at. This is what I'm capable of doing. This is wanted and needed by the Lord. He is pleased with what I'm doing. Everything I require is included in the assignment. This is real life. This is real happiness. I'm in control of my life because I'm willingly doing the service that fits in with the international, global, universal plan, cosmic, divine plan. And you're situated on another platform. It's called the transcendental platform. It's above the modes of nature. It's above the struggle for existence. It's above good, bad, and otherwise. It's above goodness, passion, or ignorance. It's completely on the transcendental platform. It does not cause you suffering. It does not cause you karmic reaction. It does not force you to take another birth. It gives you knowledge, education, and a stairway into eternal life, freedom from the cycle of birth and death, old age, and disease. The Vedic literature puts this out as the primary concern for the living entities in the material world that are misidentifying with their bodies as the self, rather than understanding themselves, the spirit self, to be a servant of God and happy when he engages in that service. You're not disqualified, you're not unqualified, you're not restricted. You simply have to understand and act accordingly. You don't need to ask the Lord, save me. You ask the Lord, please engage me. You're already a qualified servant, but you've forgotten that. So you're suffering with the laws of nature and your own karmic reaction for the things you've been doing, your desires you've been fulfilling. So when you wake to realize this fulfilling of desires is not working, I'm not getting out of the problems. I'm still cycling through all this nonsense. I'm still suffering. I'm still struggling. It's ridiculous. How do I stop it? You surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saying, I am your servant. Please engage me in your service. And the Lord is the all-good, compassionate being, and he will engage you in his service. All you have to do is mean it. It has to be a sincere request. And that will bring you to the platform that you're actually looking for. So this is the platform of reality. You get out of the misconceptions of your mind, of false values, of implicated actions that you might perform, and you get away from the bad association that is uneducated and misguiding you. So take the process. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by engaging in his service. It starts very simply with chanting the holy name of the Lord and hearing the Vedic knowledge, reading Vedic knowledge, following the spiritual master's instructions, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is the spiritual master for this planet. His books are everywhere for you. The holy name of the Lord is universally accepted and applicable anywhere you may go on the planet. And if you take the holy name with you, you are empowered to use that holy name and purify your consciousness and your actions and your understanding. A very beautiful, simple process. This is real civilized knowledge. This is real freedom. We can't be completely independent. It's not possible. But we can serve and surrender in the right place. That is possible. That is when you come to realize you are an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of God as Sri Krishna, and you render service to Sri Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. The Maha Mantra contains his names, and it frees you from all the pains and misconceptions, etc. Read the Vedic literature, because the spiritual master is there. The great saints and sages have invested their potency in Srila Prabhupada's books, and he has given it to you purely, and you can become fully realized personality. This is the great opportunity that's afforded to you by the Vedic knowledge, the Hare Krishna movement, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you hear it once, you're guaranteed to get to hear it again. And every time you hear it, you're purified. So take the purification of the holy name, take the knowledge of the Vedic literature, reach your highest potential, get out of the misconceptions of life, come to the reality that you are an eternal servant of God, and there's a place for you in the divine plan. We're missing you. You need to step up, fill in the gap, take over the real joy of life. Read Bhagavad Gita as it is, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, your life will change and be successful. That's the message from the spiritual master.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.